What's up, guys? Rick here with your preview for this week's RBC Heritage. Clearly, I'm still on the road. I'm still in Augusta, Georgia. I think I'm the only one here. I think I have the entire hotel to myself, quite honestly. We'll talk all about my master's experience, probably a lot on Wednesday during the live chat. I've got some stuff coming about that, but it was awesome. It was spectacular. The course was great. The finish was great. Everything was phenomenal. So you're not going to hear me say one bad thing, but we've got work to do. We've got another event this week, and it's not a little guy. It's a signature event. So we're going to use data and information and go through this field and see if we can continue the good time. So apologies in advance if the audio sounds a little bit different, if the video looks a little bit different. Obviously, I'm on my laptop with my travel set up, so hopefully it is all good. Let's jump into the golf course. And this is my website, rickrungood.com. Everything you see from this point on will probably be from my website. It's a giant database for golf betting and fantasy golf. So Harbortown Golf Links, always one of the most unique courses that we get on the PGA Tour schedule. It's fairly short, 7,200 yards, par 71. It's tree lined. Everybody kind of, you can just lay back off the tee. Everybody hits it to similar spots, tiny little putting surfaces. And it's a Pete Dye course. So you get that like visual intimidation along the way. If you look at the highest correlated stats to success, there are a couple that stand out. Far and away, approach play is most correlated to success. There's only five other courses in which strokes gained approach is more correlated to success than Harbortown. Driving accuracy, very important. Driving distance, not so important. That's rare. There's only a handful of courses in which you can say that on the PGA Tour. So driving accuracy is more correlated to success than distance is. And the reason for that is you don't have to be long, right? You know, it's tree lined. You can't really take any shortcuts. And then everybody plays in from a lot of similar positions. And the way that, you know, tree limbs hang over fairways and how small the greens are, you know, being on the proper side, the correct angle on the fairway is important as well. So you've got to give yourself a look at, you know, being able to hit those tiny little greens. And then if you dive into some of the other numbers, like, so here's the adjusted fit does give, you know, Scottie Scheffler in the last 36 rounds. I mean, Scottie's going to be the best adjusted course fit player anywhere. Rory, Ludwig, Xander, those guys are going to adjust well basically everywhere. Tom Hoagie is the fifth. Why? Accurate off the tee, great with shorter irons and wedges in. Matthew Pavone, accurate off the tee, similar, and putts very, very well. Akshay is on this list. Sahith, believe it or not, adjusts fairly well to Harbortown. Look at these numbers here. When you look at the off the tee numbers, you do not see a lot of long drives, and you don't even see a lot of long drive reward. So the way that this model works, it says, you know, it looks at scoring from every single shot and how they got to those different scores, what path they took, and hitting a long drive, a drive that is longer than average on that hole, usually gives you a pretty significant reward on the PGA Tour, usually a quarter of a stroke, sometimes upwards of a third of a stroke every time that you do that. There is not a single hole out here in which a long drive gives you a quarter of a stroke reward. There are some that are close, and there are some that are not really that big of an advantage whatsoever. Obviously, hitting it farther than your peers is always an advantage, but relative to other golf courses, it's very, very small. And you'll see where the real penalties are. Missing the fairways. Missing the fairways can be a half shot penalty around here every single time you do it, because you're in the trees, you don't have an angle, you're not missing these small greens, you're trying to get up and down for par. That's what's happening around this golf course. It's very, very tricky. And then you see, you know, a lot of shorter shots coming in from 150 yards and in is where the most of these shots are coming from. So if you kind of put it all together, you're looking at a golfer who can be accurate off the tee, who can hit a lot of greens, and then see if they can make enough putts to win this golf tournament. And, you know, there's going to be bogeys out there, right? Like, you're going to do something stupid. You're going to miss a green and be unable to get up and down. Just the ability to kind of ebb and flow and bob and weave through this golf course. Here's the cheat sheet on rickrungood.com. Scottie Scheffler is still in this field. Okay, 13,300. I guess at this point, we probably would have heard if he was going to withdraw. I thought with Meredith on the verge of having their first child and a taxing week at the Masters, I thought for sure that Scotty was going to call this year. But we'll see. Otherwise, assuming he plays, what do I have to say? I mean, there is just nothing wrong with Scotty right now. I do think that if he plays, he'll be fine here. Right? He has so many ways that he can separate himself. You know, even if it is without distance, he can do it with around the green play by missing these 3,700 square feet greens. He is, since Rory McIlroy told him to use a mallet putter, he's gaining strokes putting in every single start. So even with one of his weapons, how far he hits it, being taken out of his hands, I think he's going to be fine. Because this is a pretty unique course, because it's the week after a major championship, because he has personal stuff going on, you're probably not going to see me be too invested in Scottie Scheffler this week. It's not a full-on fade, but certainly a percentage of what his actual ownership is going to be. So let's say he was expected to be and projected to be 25% owned. I might come in at 12.5%, something like that. I'm just going to be a little bit low key on Scotty, and I'm going to look towards the rest of this 10K range, which is actually quite large. Rory McIlroy is at 11.2. Xander is at 10.8. Ludwig is at 10.4. Patrick Cantlay is at 10.2. And Colin Morikawa is at $10,000 even. Morikawa had a great finish last week. Sunday wasn't great. I was able to follow that group a lot of the weekend, and it felt like Colin was keeping it together, right? You know, he did gain five strokes on approach again. I worry that that's a little unsustainable. I think he's still working through a lot. And he switched putters after round one of the Masters. Now, it worked well after that, but Colin also kind of just gets these like little sparks here and there, and then the putter usually regresses back. So I am like cautious here on Colin. When I look at the rest of this 10K range, I think it's the Bash Brothers. I don't know why I keep calling them that. Xander Schauffele at 10.8, Patrick Cantlay at 10,200. Cantlay was just very under the radar last week. He was doing what Patrick Cantlay does. I think he was basically between 15th and 25th for the entirety of the event. He ended up finishing T22nd, and now it's 2 weeks in a row in which he's lost strokes with the putter. I'm not as concerned about that because we did get a very good ball striking week. And when you start looking at his history at the RBC Heritage, it's essentially second to none. He's done everything but win here. Third last year, runner up the year before. He missed the cut in 2021, but then he went third, seventh, third. I mean, it's phenomenal stuff. He's very good on Pete Dye golf courses. I think that there is a lot of juice that can be squeezed out of Patrick Cantlay. And then Xander Schauffele, you know, again, a very good outing. If you look at the numbers from basically, you could do this a lot of different ways. Let's go since, you know, the start of the 2024 season, everybody in this field, Xander Schauffele is the second best player in this field. And it's a pretty significant gap between him and Rory McIlroy in third. So it's Scotty, gap, Xander, gap, Rory. I think look at this well-rounded game. You talk about paths to the top of the board. This feels like a spot that Xander can really use all facets of his game. He finished fourth here last year. That was definitely his best finish. He hadn't missed the cut previously, but it was a lot of weaker stuff. I think this is a very, very good spot to deploy both Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Rory McIlroy, I'm fairly indifferent. There were some things that I saw out there that I don't love. The second shot is continuing to give him trouble. There's a lot of frustration. I also think that the week after the Masters might not be the best spot to use him. Ludwig, there is no golf course in the world that is going to be a bad setup for Ludwig. First major championship, you know, it's anecdotal stuff, right? Like, are you willing to go back to a guy who is in the heat of the battle and is probably exhausted? I'm exhausted from last week. I know that's like, I'm not a professional athlete and these guys do it all the time. I'm worn out in a way I've never been worn out after a golf tournament, like walking the course before. And I know like adding the stress and everything else that goes along with it is a little bit too far. This 9K range is fun as well. You know, I think I'm going to stick with kind of what we know here. You know, Tommy Fleetwood posted a really good finish, T3, but did not have to like really be like, he posted that very early, right? He wasn't in any of those final groups or anything like that where there was a ton of stress, a ton of pressure. He got out of Augusta, I'm assuming, earlier than these guys. It was a well-rounded event, and now it's back-to-back top tens. So he goes and doesn't have a great Florida swing, but kind of picks up right where he left off on the California side of things and in the Middle East. So Tommy's playing great golf right now, and I do think the way that his game sets up, if he can keep it in play off the tee, which he has been doing, if he can putt it well enough, I this is a pretty bold take because Tommy's never won one of these in America before, but this would be a good spot for him to break through. It'd be a really good spot for him to break through. He's finished top 15 in each of the last 2 years. I'm in on Fitzpatrick, right? Ever since he got rid of the weight that was in his driver, he's played a lot better. I think that is kind of matriculated through the bag. He's a very good putter. He is the defending champion here, and I don't think people realize how good he's been. 5th, 10th, and 22nd, and he still doesn't have his best stuff. It's his C+, maybe his B- stuff. I think there's plenty of room for improvement. The other guys, I have zero idea what to do with Jordan Spieth. Right, if he was not able to summon the magic at Augusta National, is he going to be able to summon the magic here? I don't know the answer to that. Winner and runner-up in each of the last 2 years. It was very bad. I think I talked about this. I don't know if I talked about it here. I talked a lot about it on CBS Sports HQ and CBS Sports Network over the last week or so. The problem with Jordan Spieth is I cannot even describe his game to you. What does he do well? I don't know. What does he do poorly? I don't know. Because every week it is different. 3 out of the last 4, he's missed the cut. 3 of those, he's lost significantly on approach. 1, he was unbelievable off the tee. The others were like, okay. He's putted well. He's putted poorly. The short game's been bad. It's just like, you know, plug one leak and another one opens up. It is really difficult to figure out what the state of his game is without asking him to kind of significantly improve across the board. Will Zalatoris hasn't played this event since 2021. He finished 42nd. This is a really good spot for Will. Be accurate off the tee, which he generally is. Be one of the best wedge players, which we have no problems with. Still concerns with the putter. He's using the broomstick. He lost a stroke and a half last week, which is way better than the 7 he lost in Houston. I did see him miss a shortier, a couple makeable putts out there as well. I don't know if they showed him on the coverage or not or anything, but go back and watch Zalatoris's rounds. I think that they were definitely good enough to give us a lot of optimism. You know, Friday, so round 2, he lost 2 strokes. I have to tell you, Friday was maybe the most difficult conditions I've ever seen. Not only is Augusta National very difficult, but it was dry and it was windy and gusty and very difficult to figure out the wind. So I'm not going to beat anybody up for losing 2 strokes to the field on Friday. I don't worry too much about that. And then Wyndham Clark, I think we've been pretty good on Wyndham this year. You know, the Masters, I didn't think was going to be a great spot for him because you've got, lack of history and stuff like that. I'm not sure this is a great spot for him because he's a sprayer off the tee and one of his strengths is hitting it far and going and find it and hitting it again. He's not great around the green categories, which gives you a little bit of a concern if he starts missing some green. So I think that we're going to be able to catch Wyndham Clark here shortly, but I'm going to just stay away for the time being. The $8,000 range. And as we get to the $8,000 range, what I actually want to do here is I want to show you the course history, the course horses, because there are a lot of golfers who there's a lot of good history here. So Cantlay's gained 2.3 strokes per round over 22 rounds. Cam Davis, who just had a great week last week in 12 rounds, he's gained 2 strokes per round. JT Poston 1.7 in 16 rounds. You know, so we're going to start getting into some of these guys, and I do think course history is pretty relevant here. You know, this is a unique setup, and it's not really even setup. It's more like layout. You know, it's not the fact that they always have it in the same way. It's the fact that the golf course is designed very uniquely, and that you're going to have guys who tend to have a lot of success, or guys that don't tend to have a lot of success around here. The consistency of Sahith has my attention, right? So he has been quite consistent over the course of the last year or so. And while I think on paper, this is not a very good golf course for him, he is starting to break out of that mold a little bit. He's starting to break out of places that I once would have typecast him into. I'm not fully in. It's probably like a 6.5 out of 10 for me. I think I would prefer Cam Young, who, you know, we've been kind of tracking the trials and tribulations of Cam Young over the course of the last year or so. And this is what Cam Young does. So the last time that Cam Young was in a slump, the way that he got out of the slump was basically you were seeing a little bit of improvement every week. The stat profile was getting more and more green, you know, closing it up in different areas. Yeah, he's doing that again now. So I think we are very much getting out of this slump. You can see going back to the start of the year, going back to Phoenix, it's been a lot of really good golf. And again, this is not a place that you would expect Cam Young to play great at. He finished third here 2 years ago. He finished 51st last year. It's a decent spot for him. Shane Lowry. So I'm interested to see what happens here in the Lowry, Justin Thomas region of the board. Justin Thomas played 4 holes terribly last week and played 32 pretty darn good. He stood on 15 tee on Friday, even par, which was like T15. That's a par 5. If he makes a birdie there or makes a birdie anywhere else coming in, he's 1 under his T8 going into the weekend. Instead, he plays them triple, triple, double, triple, I think is what it was. Or maybe it was, no, maybe it was double, double, bogey, double, I think is what it was. He played him 7 over. So I think that's right. Double, double, bogey, double. That might be mental. It seriously might be mental. Now for the first time in his career, he's missed three cuts at majors in a row. He's never done that before. You know, now that he's back in a regular PGA Tour event, does that not pop up? Truly no idea. But if he does catch some steam, you know, Shane Lowry, he's been fine. 19th of the players. He played in Singapore, 29th. He finished 43rd last week. He had a couple of top fives in Florida prior to that. He's got 3 top 10 finishes in his last 5 trips to this event. So he always tends to play well when he does get to Harbour Town. And then these are the types of events where guys like Russell Henley play well. Siwoo Kim is a Pete Dye specialist. So if you go to the Holy Grail or anywhere else and do Pete Dye, it's like Patrick Cantlay. Siwoo Kim is up there. And then you have the guys that are great everywhere, like Rory and Scotty and all that. But Siwoo definitely plays over his baseline when it comes to Pete Dye courses. The $7,000 range. Ben On is at it again, right? I mean, we really have to take this guy seriously. The signature events this year have been great. Just played well at the Masters. He ends up finishing T16th, although I think he was even better than that for a while. He was T8, I think, on Sunday late. Lost 2.5 strokes on Sunday and did it with the putter. That's kind of what Ben On is capable of doing. And the putter in general has been better this year, even though the last 2 starts haven't looked great. He loses 4 at the Texas Open, but then, you know, the greens at Augusta National, guys can cough it up there. But the tee to green numbers are absolutely elite at this point and hard to overlook. I'm kind of in on this just Akshay building towards something, right? So he's been building towards something. At 17th, 11th, he won, and then he has to flip around immediately and go play the Masters and finish T35. I'm impressed by that. Now he gets to take just a quick, not like a deep breath, but just like a quick little like, okay, quick reset. You know, this is a golf course. I mean, he drives it very accurately. He's 14th in this field over the last 36 rounds in driving accuracy. He hits a ton of greens. He's starting to putt it a lot better. I could see Akshay being in contention again this week. He might run out of steam. I think he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is week 6 in a row, I think. if I just counted that correctly. So I do worry that he might be running on fumes a little bit, especially after a big week last week, but I'm not that concerned about it. And then Bezuidenhout, how much oxygen have we spent on Bezuidenhout, who's been just consistently inside the top 25? His last three results here are all 33rd or better. He did not play the Masters, didn't get in. He was like one of the first men out of the Masters. He finished T55 at the Texas Open. I mean, this is just such a good spot to be picking up Bezuidenhout. And then I do think the popular guy in this range ends up being Cam Davis, right? So Cam Davis, you know, 21st, 12th, that includes the Masters last week. Three out of his last four have been top 21s, and his record here is great, 7th, 3rd, and 25th. So I think that he's the one early in the week that probably chews up quite a bit of the ownership. This is a Brendan Todd spot, and this is a Tom Hoagie spot at the bottom of the 7K range. Both those guys are fine. But are we not properly discussing Matthew Pavone? Matthew Pavone might be the 15th best player on the PGA Tour this year. 7th in Sony. He won the Farmers. He finished 3rd at Pebble, and that was a shortened event. He could have won that one. 5th in Singapore. 12th at the Masters. Missed the cut at the Players, that's okay. And he's got, you know, a couple like 28th and 52nd. Are we not properly giving this guy his due? I worry a little bit that his approach play has struggled recently. We don't get this breakdown from Singapore, so I assume it was better there. And he was very good before that. But the results are still there one way or another. So Pavone at the bottom of the 7K range is probably my favorite. Let's go to the 6K range, and then we will run a model here. Lucas Glover, right? Has played this event a lot. The Masters should not have been a great spot for him. He ended up finishing T20. Now that's three straight top 25 finishes. He's used to playing a lot, and he is playing a lot right now. Mackenzie Hughes did not play the Masters, so don't forget that he's on a run of three straight top 30s. When he's going well, he is a short game specialist. That is kind of one path to success here, just because of how small the greens are, and you're going to have guys that are going to be missing them. So I do think that he is potentially live at this golf course. Thomas Dietrich, I'm not sure what the deal is with the pricing here. He's $6,300. He's amongst guys with a ton of missed cuts. He finished 2nd in Houston the last time he played, 17th at the Valspar. So his last two are top 17s. 4 of his last 8 are top 20s. I'm not sure what the pricing is. I actually think the model is really going to love him here. So I think we're going to be quite obvious here. We're going to go with strokes gained approach last 36 for 30. I think we want a big number. We want driving accuracy for 15 and good drive percentage for 10. That says, did you put yourself in a position where you could have either hit the fairway or you could have hit the green? So like, did you give yourself a good shot? We're going to put 20 on greens gained. And then we're just going to go put the other 25 on course history. We are not even going to do anything related to short game. Just see what happens. Yeah, of course, Scotty's number one. Lowry's number two. Corey Connors, 3. Cam Young, 4. Xander, 5. I think Xander could win this week. I really do. I think he might win this week. Siwoo is 6. A lot of stuff adds up for Siwoo. Glover, 7, Finau, 8, Taylor Moore, 9, and JT Poston, 10. Yeah, Rory drops to 16. JT drops to 15. So there's a lot to consider here. We're going to continue this conversation. I know this was a little bit on the shorter side. I appreciate you guys rolling with me here, but I've got some stuff I got to do and I have to fly. But it's a really interesting field. We're going to cover a lot on the Wednesday live chat. We're going to continue to roll on here. I'll be back at home on Wednesday, so things will be good. But again, thank you so much for all the support. This last week was an unbelievable week, and I'm now more energized than ever. So best of luck, guys. I'll talk to you soon.